Blog Talk Radio.
My life is a gift from you, blessed from heaven, that's for sure. So every day I live, yeah, thanks to you. Oh, I haven't been perfect, and that's okay. And you still show love my way, yeah. Please don't leave me stay, 'cause I know the sun doesn't shine, the rain doesn't fall, and there wouldn't be a twinkle, twinkle little star. And just like we have winter, spring, and summer, fall, I can always count on you, because you never let me down. You've always been around. And my trust for you will never leave. It will never leave. Because you know my destiny. So I believe. Every day my faith is stronger, knowing you're there, I hang on a little longer. Sometimes life gets a little hard, hey. Your times are tough, so hard to bear. I get weak sometimes, I feel you really don't care. But when I open my eyes and look out the window and see that the sun doesn't shine and the rain doesn't fall, and there wouldn't be a twinkle, twinkle little star, yeah. And just like we have a winter, spring, and summer, fall, I can always count on you, 'cause you never let me down. You're always been around, yeah, yeah, yeah.
For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call.
download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say to you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful, empowering show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the platform for black liberation, black empowerment, black freedom, and black thought. This is the voice of the voiceless and the voice of an entire nation. This is your show, the Star and Crescent Report. Brothers and sisters, today's show is titled Just a Stone's Throw Away from Hell. All praise is due to Allah. We're going to go right into the show. Before we go into some clips, let me talk to you for a minute. We got a lot of things going on, especially with the uprising in America, throughout the cities across America, from the racism to Milwaukee, over to North Carolina, up to New York, to New Jersey, down to the South, over on the West Coast, Midwest, wherever you may look, this is going on today. And it's happening for a reason. And I'll share with you the reason. I was listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad last night, and he shared, as I was talking to my mother late last night, I was on the phone, and I was telling her, I said, you know, I just sat down listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I said, it is amazing, it is absolutely astonishing how I'm listening to him, and he's describing the situation verbatim to a T that is going on right here in America. And an interviewer asked him about, at the time, the so-called riots or the rebellion. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, no, I would not call it a rebellion in terms of the definition of what you're seeing. He said, what you're seeing happening here, this will become worse. And it will spread all across America. This is what the interviewer was saying last night. And he said that this is not a rebellion in words. He said, no, I don't think you can use those terms to describe what you see going on. He said, the slave is tired of being abused, misused. Don't I tell you this all the time? The slave is tired of not receiving justice and always being victimized. What it is today is the will of God being made manifested, he said. This is the time that the dead and God rise. And so the black people all across America are reaching out for something, reaching for something more. But the problem with this is, as he said, you have all of these different organizations out here saying that they're for black liberation and black independence. He said, but this is no good. They don't want to follow the man that God has ordained with the right solution and the right cure to our problems, so they must be forced. They must be beat. This is what the Muslim said. So he said the violence will continue and escalate. And will continue as you're seeing more and more being killed in outrage. For black America becomes more to the bone and to the core of what's going on. This will force them to rethink their policies. I'm listening to them. I said, man, this man is talking about what's going on today. He says this white man in his system ever seeks a moment to misuse you or to justify their beating or killing of you. And the problem with black America is that they refuse to accept it. And as I say on the show forward, what really got me is this. He said, as he was describing the situation, and I'm listening good to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he says that a lot of us, he said, God has ordained, he said, the 12 scientists have gotten together, and they have agreed that it is 100% disagreeable to live with this white man. He said, but you come right back behind what the gods have ordained. And you say, well, not all of them are bad. Not all of them want to do this. We can get along. We can live with this one. We can do this one. He and you're needing a different kind of medicine that you have received before. They gave you something, some calamine lotion for your skin when in reality you needed something that could work from within and work its way on the outside and stop the itch, stop the irritation, stop the hurt, stop the pain. Well, the Bible tells you that God would raise up a last prophet, a last messenger, with healing in his wings. And it named him Elijah. And he would prepare the way before God. Right? So what we're looking at for today is the black man is sick as hell, sick in the head, sick and tired of being abused, sick and tired of being misused, sick and tired of being beaten and demonized within white society as they exploit everybody, every person, every nation that they can. The black man is sick. And when you are sick in every mode of your mind and every mode of your being, you need a doctor to heal you. So God raised up one with healing in his wings, according to the scriptures, right? But you don't want to hear this. Therefore, we must go through this process. And those of us who would hear what the messenger says, what God says through his apostle, we still must be in the midst of this while it transpires to prove our worthiness to make it out of this and be the pillars of a new world. We must be tried and tested to make sure that we are capable and able to hold up that great burden, that great weight of bringing in, building up, and maintaining a new world and righteousness. So therefore, we must go through all of this. In America, as all of these things take place, as America, Europe, and the entire sphere of man, regardless of where he may be, where he may live, now lives just a stone's throw away from hell. So, excuse me. So as we look at the condition of black America and the screaming and the reaching out for something new, reaching out for mercy, you're not going to get the mercy that you're seeking. While they were protesting, they killed another. While they were protesting in another city, I believe it was Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, a black youth, as his brother reported, a black youth called the police because I think his house was burglarized. And the police got there and stumped him out. The 14 or 15-year-old boy stumped him out and went into a coma and died. All while this is something that is going to force you to know that this white man is your open enemy. Since you don't want to accept this, and that God has spoken this, then God's got to bring about his word. And I don't care how much you don't want to go through it. The purification process is well underway. So this is causing untold misery. You know, we talked about this in the fall of America. This is in chapter, The Confusion of Nations, I believe. We've spoken on this. I believe it's 105, 104, something like that, 103. Let's go to it real quick. Because this goes right to the heart of what we're talking about. 105, it's 105. And we read it. see through the madness that you see today. And you won't be anxious. You won't be in a rush for anything. You'll be able to see clearly and precisely what God means when he's allowing these things to take place. But Muhammad names this chapter confusion. So before we read the chapter, one must understand what the word confusion means. And according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word confusion means a situation in which people are uncertain about what to do or unable to understand something clearly. The feeling that you have when you do not understand what is happening, what is expected. A state or situation in which many things are happening in a way that is not controlled or audited by the master, brothers and sisters. Listen closely. So he says, confusion. Confusion of the people, right? Now, these people are confused. That means that they are in a situation, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, they're in a situation where they are uncertain about what to do or unable to understand something clearly. This talks about not just black America, but white America and everyone else. All of them are unsure about tomorrow. All of them are unsure about how to proceed, how to get out of this process. But Muhammad gives you right guidance. He says the only way out is that you submit to Allah and come follow me. He says to white America, the only way that your doom can be postponed is that you must do justice by your enslaved. And the doing of justice means the freeing of the slaves mentally, physically, politically, and economically, and giving them a territory to themselves where they can govern. Ecclesiastes, for those of you who are not really familiar with time, I really ask you to go study the Bible in Ecclesiastes, because it tells you there's a time, there's a season unto all things. Now, you can be hungry and you say, I'm going to plant me some food and I'm going to feed myself. You go out there and you plant summer crops in the morning and see how far you get with that. Huh? But I should be able to, but it's out of season. And the detriment of the winter's cold will kill it and not allow it to blossom forward so you can eat. So your labor is wasted. Do you understand? Because it's done out of ignorance, out of time, and out of season. I hope you are listening closely to what I'm saying. For the thousands who are listening live, I hope you are understanding this moment. Because we've got to get this in our heads and in our hearts, whether we want it or not. More so, let's go a little further. Muhammad says, the prediction of the prophets who wrote our future before we lived is now coming to pass. So that's prophecy, he said. He's talking about prophecy. Because prophecy is history predicted prior to its coming into being, right? So the prophets are prophesying our history that they receive out of the inspiration of God. He says, the slaves. Oh, now he's talking about slaves. There's nobody who fits this description better than you and I, black men and black women. We're still slaves today. We have not made any progress towards self. We were making time from the 30s to the 70s. And after God took the light of the world away, we started spinning in circles. And we have not availed ourselves of that time. And we have not made time. But according to the scriptures, the first five books of the Bible, the people did nothing after Moses left. They were divided. They were doing their own thing, thinking that they knew better according to the scriptures. What did the messenger say? The prediction of the prophets who wrote our future before we lived is now coming to pass, right? Is there not a conjunction with that? Come on, talk back to you, little brother. 347-989-0855. And if what I'm saying is not in line with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, and if what I'm saying is not in line with the prophecy of the prophets in the Quran, in the Bible, I'll eat this book and these laptop computers that sit right in front of me without salt and without pepper. Let's go further. He says, the slaves, and then he puts in parentheticals to describe who he's referring to when he says slaves, or a foolish people, as they are referred to by Moses. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad refers to us as a foolish people also, and he says that we are blind, deaf, and dumb to the knowledge of self, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of time, and the knowledge of the devil. So he says, we are vexing the slave master. Is that not right? What is going on? The slave is rising up. He's no longer to be in this position of slave. He's no longer with this devil with his retractable justice, his retractable laws. Okay? So I'm going to touch on a whole bunch of things today, brothers and sisters, and I hope that you don't get mad with me. I hope instead of you being mad with me, you pay attention and concentrate on the validity of what I'm saying, okay? Get out of this box that you're in. And I'm telling you to weigh my words. Put them on a scale of facts, okay? And remove the emotions attached to what you believe. And let's go forward in facts. So he says, today, not yesterday, but what? Today, as these prophecies are now being fulfilled. Stop right there. So we know that when he spoke this stuff, it was not on the scale that it is today. So when he's talking about today, he's not talking about as he spoke it, because remember, he's a messenger of God. So we are in that day what he spoke about today, not yesterday, as the prophecies are now being fulfilled. We see them being fulfilled with our very eyes. We can see them. We can smell them. We can touch them. We can taste them. We can hear them. In every speck of life, every spectrum of our lives, we can got to do it. It's already in motion. Look around. The people who were once the most rebellious against separation are now calling for separation. The people who mocked and scorned Elijah Muhammad talking about separating to our own territory. What did Black Panther say last month? Huh? We need to take 5 of the southern states, right? We got to take 5 of the southern states for Black America. 612, hold your hand for a little bit. I got to lay the base before I answer calls, okay? But stay patient with your brother. I will get you. You will be the first one I get to, okay? But listen, but back then when Muhammad was talking about this, you didn't see this, because when Muhammad was saying this, the Black Panther Party was integrated with white folks also. But look at today. You do a calculation from yesteryear when Muhammad spoke it up to today, and you'll see other people. Even Randy Short is talking about separation, right? The scholar and the humanitarian brother who was on the show, Randy Short, he's talking about separation. He even said it on the show that Elijah Muhammad was right. On this show. Others are screaming out for separation. But time had to bring these things to the forefront. And there's so much more that has to be done. So many people have to be convinced that this is the right thing, because they're still attracted to the wickedness of the world of yesteryear. But Muhammad goes further and he says, the master must give up his slave, and the slave must give up his master, regardless of his desire to remain with his master. It is the purpose of God. So now we see the purpose and aim of God, okay? And that is to separate the two. And that means that it is on God to do this through a lamb and not on you. Because it is his purpose and aim that he makes one like himself to carry out his purpose and aims amongst the people. So he says, it is the purpose of God himself to separate the two so that he can give the slave justice and an equal chance for survival, as the slave master has been exercising power over the slave. So how do you awaken a person to the fact that the person that you've been living with is a criminal, is a killer, is a liar, is a rapist, is a child molester, is a hypocrite? You have to expose them to full view of that person. So no matter how much they love that person, no matter how much they want to be with that person, the reality of that person will force them to see them as they truly are. Therefore, we see what's going on today. Huh? See it? I know you do, because I see it. But the word must, brothers and sisters, he said must. Do you know that word is binding on people? And if it's binding on people, you know it's binding on God, right? Now, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, that word must, M-U-S-T, not musty, but must, it says, the definition of the word must means be commanded or requested to, be urged to, ought by all means to, be compelled by physical necessity to, be obliged to, be compelled by social considerations to. Now listen to this part. Be required by law, custom, or moral conscience to. Be determined to. So now that since we have that definition, let's go back and reread what he's wrote, okay? And then we'll get a better understanding of what is taking place and why. The master must. Must. What is must? Huh? The master must what? Be compelled by physical necessity. So these things must happen in the physical realm as well as the spiritual, okay? And he says, be required by God is now required by his own laws, his own customs, and his own moral conscience to what? Force the slave to give up his master and the master to give up his slave, right? Regardless of the two wanting to be with each other. According to what the definition of the word must, it means incumbent, binding. So, we have that understanding. So now you see there's a great jostling in America between black and white. silver or gold, but it takes fire to purge it. So it takes a situation that is full of fire and very explosive to cause these things to come to the forefront. And you're seeing it now, and now you all are recognizing that America is just a stone's throw away from hell. I want to go into this clip here. This is a 5-minute clip. And six, won't you please keep your hand up, please. And when I come back to you, make your statement or your question very, very brief. Because, and I hope that it's on the subject that we're on. If not, I'm going to have to answer your question at another time. But I want to play this 5-minute clip. And then I want to play two short clips behind this to show you something. To show you that there's a separation going on right now, and to show you that your ideal of separation, black man and black woman, is wrong. And we've got to grasp this fact and go with what God has ordained, okay? We're going to prove this, okay? We're going to prove this today, especially with this devil's retractable laws, all right, my brothers and sisters? So you be patient with your little brother. We still got an hour to go. So as we lay the base, we're going to start going into this thing now so that there will be no way you can say that you didn't understand it, okay?
Currently standing outside of Charlotte's police department, and right now the atmosphere is pretty peaceful, but last night it was a completely different story. Now, after Lamont's death, the word was spread about his death, the city erupted. They were angry because Lamont's death is actually the sixth killing by police officers that's taken place in the city within the last year. Now, during the protest last night, there are reports that at least 12 officers were injured and that some members of the media were injured as well. But those reports are overshadowing the point that Lamont's life was taken. Now, joining me now to talk more about the protest that took place last night is Hero Vincent. He's a local activist and a fighter here in Charlotte. He was at the protest last night, so I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. Now, Hero, thank you for joining me. I'd like to know, what were the thoughts of the people who attended last night's protest?
Well, as you can tell, a lot of people were upset and angry about everything that's been going on for our community in the past year and in the past few years that you've seen a buildup of this aggression. And it's starting to come out in big protests like we saw from last night. And because nobody is taking the time to actually hear and understand what our community is going through, whether it be the black community or the Charlotte community or wherever you may be, it's because it's happening all over the country. It doesn't seem like there are actual actions taking place to make changes, substantial changes within our communities. And because nobody seems to be listening or trying to hear or understand what our plight may be, it comes out in this form of expression, whether it be self-destruction or destruction in the streets. And as of last night, majority of the people didn't want what was happening, whether it was the riots or the police cars being damaged or the rocks being thrown. Because by the time I left, everything was very peaceful. Everybody was standing together, having open doors of dialogue, talking about the issues, whether it be you're black, you're white, you're Asian, you're Latin, it doesn't matter. Everyone was coming together and speaking about the issues. There was select few people who were doing their own thing as individuals because that's how they felt. In particular, they couldn't express in an articulate manner how they were feeling. So it just came out in that way.
Mm-hmm. So, as I'm sure you're aware, there are conflicting reports of what actually took place yesterday in Lamont's death, you know, those events leading up to that. Now, there are witnesses that say that he was in his car reading a book peacefully, and then there are other reports that he had his gun out. He wasn't listening to police commands, and he was posing a threat. Now, why do you think that there are conflicting reports about what actually took place yesterday?
Well, there's many reasons why there could be conflicting reports about a black man getting shot by cops, because there's so many black men in this country getting shot by cops. I don't know exactly what the truth may be. I know what the witnesses say, and I would personally tend to follow what witnesses say because they have no reason to lie or no bias. They have no stake in the matter. But at the same time, the issue is not what he was having or what he was doing at the time. Why was he dead? You know, what tactics could have been done better to save his life? You know, to protect his life. There's so many of us that look like me being killed on a daily basis, being killed on a weekly basis, on a monthly, the numbers just keep escalating and multiplying. Every week, every month, every year, they multiply. And so now we're at a point where everyone is so upset, everyone is frustrated. It doesn't matter what he was doing in his car, whether he was reading a book, whether he was waiting for his child, that's not the issue. The issue is that he's dead and that he was killed. So many that look like me are being killed in the streets while doing absolutely nothing. That is the issue at hand. So if we continuously concentrate on what he was doing, it's still distracting from the issue that the man is dead,
mm-hmm.
that the man was killed in a way that could have been avoided.
All right, Hero, thank you so much. Hopefully that will be the focus, and
Absolutely.
People won't be focusing on what took place at the protest last night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Anya, I want to make note that the video that was taken during yesterday's shooting will not be released until the investigation is complete. Now, the Department of Justice says that it is assessing the situation at this time. I also want to mention that in all the previous police-involved killings that took place within this past year, all of the officers were acquitted of any charges, and they were justified in using deadly force. Now, the police officer involved in yesterday's shooting has been placed on paid administrative leave. So, of course, it will be interesting to see how this case plays out. And as of right now, there are rumors that more protests will be underway tonight. Anya?
All right. RT correspondent Ashley Banks on the ground for us in Charlotte. Thank you so much for your reporting.
Trying to overhype this whole thing when it comes to police and African Americans, in the sense that the idea that this is an epidemic or a problem is completely ridiculous. And this has been proven by the numbers, and I'll give it to you real clear. From 1990 until 2011, it's a 21-year sample size, you had 1,016 African Americans that were killed by police officers. During that same time period, you had more than 2,000 whites killed by police officers. And then during that same time period, how many African Americans were killed by other African Americans? You know how much more that number is?
Go ahead, speak.
It's more than three times the number. So this whole narrative is what the media has been pushing, and this goes to the overall mindset that has been pervaded the black community. African Americans in this country have adopted a victim mentality which has stunted our growth. And the reason is because in the past there was physical oppression. There was physical obstacles. There was physical things put in place to keep a black person from succeeding or growing in America. This was the case up until about the 1960s and 70s. It was still traces of it through the 80s. Basically, it was gone by the 90s, and by now it's completely gone. There's no actual physical or true institutional obstacles to a black person in America.
Brother, if you believe that, brother, you are, hold on, this is not your show. This is not your show. This is Rashid's show. It says the host, Rashid Hiram 1555. Okay? I'll give you a moment to speak. Now let me get a moment to speak. If you believe that there's no obstacles, no impediments to black America, brother, you are dead as a doorknob. I'm going to answer. Your statistics and your black-on-black crime, I'm getting ready to throw that back at you. So you just hold on right there. I'm going to mute your mic, and I'm going to do this. All right? This right here, brothers and sisters, you said there. Now, an epidemic. Now, let's go to the dictionary, okay, to understand what he's saying. All right? The word epidemic means affecting or tending to affect a disproportionately large amount or number of individuals within a population, community, or region at the same time. Now, that is one definition of this. We're going to use that definition. According to white people's own, you say, let's go to statistics. Let's go to it. America makes up 5% of the total population of the planet Earth. She has 25% of the prison population of the world. And disproportionately, according to the FBI's own statistics, between 70 and 90% of them are black who have not received the proper counseling and defense. So, you say there's no impediments? Okay, let us look at this. Why do you go into any business out here if there's no color blocks? When you go into these businesses that are run by white people, who do you see in there running them with them? It's not because blacks have not applied to be there. It is because this is assimilation. This is what is pervasive in society. Now, is it black people flooding white communities with dope, or is it the other way around? Because you have convenient amnesia. Black people don't own. A lot of banks, black people don't own to finance this, black people don't own any shipping lines, black people don't own any train lines, black people don't own any airports or major airplanes to go and transport this from one nation back into another nation. And according to the CIA's own papers, this was done to flood the black community with drugs, to divide the black community, right? And to keep them impotent as a unified force against the government. But you say there's no structural racism, okay? But let us look at this. Mr. Obama has been the president of the United States. What has he done for black America to liberate black America? He has an answer to his constituency. He's answered to the people who selected him and not elected him into office, okay? And he has done more to hinder black progress than anyone before him. He's bombed more countries under the tutelage of his white oppressors than the white people before him. This is according to statistics. All right. I'll go to you in a second. 314, okay? I want to address this. Let your brother address this. Because to say that there's no impediment and black people are being rounded up, you must don't go to the black neighborhoods. You must don't live in the hood. Because I go through the neighborhoods all the time, and guess what's happening? White people are over there in the police cars picking with youth all the time, calling them niggas, saying that they're glad this. I had Courtney, I told you on one of the shows, one of the sergeants on the street has some white people under his command on the sheriff's department. And he saw me, and he and I went to college together. And he knows that I was always for black liberation, so he talked to me. And my daughter was in the car with me, and she was laughing. She said, "Dad, you know everybody." And so what turned into a hello or how you doing was like an hour or two, just he and I talking, even while the police under his command had two black people in the car, and across the street they had stopped some people, and he was letting me know what was going on. And he told me this. He said, "This is a nationwide thing," he said, "but especially here in this area, Escambia County, or Pensacola, Florida, or in the Panhandle," he said, "I'm telling you what I know. The prosecutors are working with the state's attorneys, with the so-called public defender's office, and with some of these stores out here, told me that Walmart was working right with them because they had a meeting on what to do and how to entrap people. This is what this guy told me. Now, why would he just out the blue lie to me and tell me these things and share with me some inner workings of the system and how they entrap you? Matter of fact, we got some videos, but I don't think I have time to show you that this one black person was pulled over, right, for a little bit of nothing. And then this arresting officer and another officer lied, and they forgot that their camera was on, and they were going to run this guy in because he was talking about his rights. So there's no institutional racism, and there's black victimization. But let's go back to something that you said that I got to address. You said, and this is what I tell you, the mentality of Yakub in our people, because this is something that is pervasive in the so-called intellectual black people. Whenever you talk about white people victimizing black people, they love to go back and throw the numbers and say that blacks are killing blacks. Yes, that's true. But this is a twofold thing that must be addressed, because nobody is out there addressing this. But guess what, my brother? You definitely got the right one today. Listen, according to statistics, the statistics that you refuse to bring up on the show, yes, blacks are killing blacks, but you must have forgot that there's a larger white-on-white violence than it is black-on-black violence, according to statistics, according to the numbers, according to what you just said, since we go to the numbers. Now, if the black man is killing each other and the black woman is killing each other, okay, let us look at the environment of this. How can you be mad at the coffee cup for not being able to withstand the coffee that you put in it if you're the maker of the coffee cup? You don't get mad at the coffee cup, do you? Because the coffee cup fell apart. You get mad at what? The maker or the potter who made the coffee cup, right? So, let us go to something. You're talking about black victimization. What about the Jews? Huh? The Jews scream about everything. You can't say nothing about no Jews without you losing your endorsement, losing your life, losing your livelihood, losing this and losing that, right? Matter of fact, in Europe, they got it outlawed. You can't even question the Holocaust, right? These Jews make themselves victims every day, and they tell you not to forget the Holocaust all in Hollywood, all across the TV land, right? They got movies about the Holocaust. But how dare you speak of slavery? Your life is not as good as ours. We lost 6 million Jews. How the hell can you compare 6 million Jews with over 150 million black people who were slaughtered and killed by us and other white people? Who's the victim here? And who's victimizing? Huh? See, brother, you got the skull cap on backwards, but guess what? I'm going to tap it a little bit and turn it back the right way, okay? Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something. When we look at these things, we must look at them from the proper perspective. If you have been enslaved for 310 years, and mind you, my brother, nobody has been enslaved for 310 years in the history, except black people in America. And then this, according to their own writings, the main goal was not a physical bondage. As a matter of fact, in the Virginia House of Delegates, you might want to go look this up, Mr. Intellectual. They were talking about this. We have, as far as possible, extinguished every avenue by which light may enter into the slave's mind. This is what they said. And they said that this was their goal, to remove the shackles, but to put the people in a mental shackle that they can rule them by dividing them and causing them to hate black, to kill black, and to disrespect black, and to always lean towards white. This was an experiment that you must have forgot or didn't read or didn't study when you were studying your white statistics. That this was their goal, and this was their aim. Think about this black man and black woman who are listening to this. They are discussing this in the Congress, in the Virginia House of Delegates, in the U.S. Senate, in the U.S. House of Representatives, of how best to divide and conquer black America and to keep them as a mental slave. This is the man don't honor you. You don't think, okay. Okay, you don't think it's structural racism. Brother, like I said to you, either you white, which I doubt you are, or you white mentally, which I know you are, because I just heard you. But you got to come to the knowledge of self too. I'm not here to convince you. God will do the convincing. What I'm here to do is to lay the facts out and let the chips fall where they may. Let me go to 341 before I go back to this clip, because there's so much that I have to say about this black on black and black on white and black and all this crime. And also, when we look at statistics, the statistics are often skewed and they're often misrepresented by the people who are collecting the data. Also, look at that also, okay? And the white man is not going to give you a full view of himself. He'll give you a little taste of it, but he's not going to give you the full view. But why you ain't never addressed that white-on-white crime? Every time there's something, when we point the finger at white people, every so-called black intellectual always talks about, like Ray Lewis, I guess you're another Ray Lewis, the black-on-black crime. Why didn't you bring that up? How come you couldn't point the finger on the white-on-white crime and say that that's a justification for black people feeling the way they are? And if there's no structural racism, then why the hell in every black community you got the white people policing black communities? You got black police officers, black sheriffs. Why the hell they can't put them in the communities? Huh? But there's no structural racism. Let me go to 314. 314, you on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I send it to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sir. How you doing today?
Yes, sir, brother. How you doing, my brother?
Yes, sir. Fine by Allah's grace. I just want to say, first and foremost, you know, you're doing a good job on the show. For the audience, Messenger Elijah Muhammad does not teach us to blame anybody for our faults. So we're not blaming anyone for the things that we know that we do wrong. As Muslims, we never do that. Righteous people don't do that.
That's right.
But we must be honest about what has been reported. And if you do your research, you will find that even according to the FBI Uniform Crime Statistics, you know, crime has gone down, but yet the incarceration rates have gone up. And people will show you that, research will show you that unjust sentencing laws, you know, for nonviolent drug offenses has skyrocketed the incarceration rates around the country. And even former President Clinton, who enacted the three strikes law, even admitted and apologized for that just recently. So you cannot say that institutional racism does not exist. That is why black people are disproportionately incarcerated. And then because of poverty, we cannot get a speedy and fair trial. And we're often in jail for minor offenses for years, like the young brother who committed suicide about a year ago. He didn't even get a chance to go to trial. And it was found that he was innocent of the crime that he was not even convicted of. He was in jail for over 2 years, suffered abuse because he was only 16, beatings and all types of things, and then he committed suicide when he got out, and he wasn't even guilty. And these things are par for the course. These are what we have always gone through. And this all stems from slavery, whether you want to admit it or not. And there are many other things that contribute to that. But I just want to state that, brother, you know, the research,
yes, sir,
you know, bears it out. And if you don't want to go, if you want to find out the truth, go do the research for yourself, because we don't put things on people that are not true. Assalamu alaikum,
right,
brother. Thank you.
Wa alaikum salam. That's right, brother. You are absolutely right. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. The brother was looking at some statistics that's going to justify his whiteness, even though he's black. But when the white people get done with you, they're going to do you like they do all the other people. They're going to drop you. But I'm going to piggyback off our good brother. And no pun intended, but I'm going to piggyback off our good brother whom I just brought on the air, Brother McCall. As he talked about the incarceration rate, and he talked about the statistics. Well, let us go into that. Brother, thank you for bringing that point up, because I was going to address that also. But we're going to listen to what they have to say about this, okay? This is 2 minutes. Listen closely. And for
The United States accounts for only 5% of the world's population, but is responsible for nearly 22% of the world's prison population. Today, America has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. More than 2 million people are incarcerated in U.S. prisons, as well as local and county jails. According to a report by Amnesty International, 1 in 3 black men in the United States will go to prison or jail if current trends continue. 5 million others are under state or federal supervision in the form of probation or parole.
America is financially addicted and hopelessly obsessed with caging bodies and arresting their citizens. And this, of course, they're profiting off of. So it becomes a financial obligation that we have. We have a dependency on prison.
The prison population has nearly quadrupled since the 1980s and America's so-called war on drugs. 3/4 of prisoners are in for nonviolent crimes.
Black people represent about 15% of the whole New York State population. New York State prisons, they represent 50%. We need to move away from this punishment paradigm where when we have an addiction need or somebody who has a mental health need, we need to have a response that's more humane and more effective, that tries to address the underlying causes of the problematic behavior.
More prisoners means more prisons. To supply this need and make more space, the government has privatized large portions of the American prison system. High costs have caused many states to cut funding for rehabilitation, education, and other programs. However, the Obama administration has announced that the Departments of Labor, Justice, and Education plan to provide new grant fundings to programs aimed at helping former inmates get jobs and get an education. However, the timeline for these changes is unclear.
Prison reform activists hope that educational and support programs will help reduce the rate of recidivism and relapse among the 2.3 million people in U.S. prisons. Susan Madaris, Press TV, New York.
Did you hear that, Mr. 612? Huh? I hope you did. Since there's no racism, no impediment, and blacks are victimized in this perpetual state of victimization, well, in a way we are, because we're allowing ourselves to be and the only way we can move out of that is accepting divine guidance, right guidance, which puts us on a path to elevate ourselves as civilized men and women. But we can't do that half step. But you say that there's no institutional racism or no impediments for black people. And yet, this report, the statistics that you scream about say that black people make 13% of the population, yet comprise 50% of the prison population in New York. Are you saying that your own people are disproportionately prone to robbing and stealing and killing? Are you saying that? Are you in line with the so-called KKK? Or are you just a fool or being made a fool by white people? Huh? See, when you deal with facts, you're dealing with the right one. Because this is what I like to do. Talk about facts. Talk about statistics. Talk about truth, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to honor truth, regardless to whom it comes out of. And he tells us that we ought to live and breathe actual facts. And so what we're doing today is actually giving you the facts that you need to survive. And we know that America is just a stone throw away from hell. But for those of you who are listening, let us go back to our subject at hand, which is a part of this. All praise is due to Allah, which is a part of this. Let's go back to our subject at hand. So, as we were talking about the confusion of the people, and this is a part of it, he's confused. He's black with a white mind. But we can't be hard on him, but what we must do is shake him and cajole him and try to get him to understand that you've been eating at the wrong plate. The food, the mental food, just as it is with the physical food that you have been eating, has been poisoning your body and mind and soul. So we're offering you today some healing ointment from the last and the greatest messenger of God that will put you on a perpetual path of truth. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And one thing that I love, brother and sister, is defending this truth that has been given to us by God through his last apostle. That's one thing that I love to do. Don't need to take no second thoughts about it. Don't need to go into no books. Don't need. This is something that is first, second, and third. we say, this goes back to the heart of what we're saying. Black people love to point out Ray Lewis and the other ones, love to point out black-on-black crime. But black-on-black crime is a direct result of institutionalized racism. Black-on-black crime is a direct result of slavery. Black-on-black crime is a direct result of white supremacy. I hate that nigga over there. And what does the nigga that he made, because that's what he made a nigga, what does he reflect in his action and his voice? When you talk to, nigga, you can't tell me nothing. Nigga, I know just as much as you do. It's nigga, nigga, nigga. This is the same mind of the oppressor. So when you look at this, as Muhammad said, then we got to give credit to what credit is due. And I'm going to give Yaqub all the credit that he deserves. And Yaqub is the maker of this mindset in black America. The people of Yaqub ingrained and instilled and embedded this mindset within black America. No other people have been put in concentration camps where the pregnant woman was cut open and the baby was dropped to the ground and the white slave master smashed the baby under the feet. Huh? To instill fear into those people. And as soon as the people came to see, evidently you don't understand science. And science tells us, matter of fact, they have a scientific study that came out, if I'm not mistaken, it was either yesterday or sometime this week. And it was talking about heart attacks. And this goes right in line with what we were saying. It says, your genetic code remembers heart attacks. And it can be passed down through generations. And they were talking about that stress and fear and mutations of genes can be passed down over generations. Now, for 64 years, they dehumanized black people. You don't think this has a direct effect on the dehumanization process of today? Well, blacks are looked at as criminals, and then they're treated as such, and then so we just act the part. You don't think that that has any correlation to the experiment, the worst experiment that was put on people in the history here in America? You don't believe that that has a direct that is a direct result of why blacks view each other in the vicious and malice way that we do, and hating each other? Where do we get the hate from? We learn from a great teacher. These things are left out of the discussion. But if you want to discuss it on the Star and Cracking Report, then guess what? I'm game if you are. So, Muhammad says, the master must give up his slave and the slave must give up his master. Even though we may talk about breaking a chain, some of us have that chain embedded deeply within our sphere of thinking, around our brains and in our minds. And it is hard to break these shackles because of the way we're being flooded with. And some of us, we will sell our souls to be accepted in white society. And some of us will sell our souls to be accepted as scholars. And this is bad. But guess what, though? In all of that badness, if we lose you that are like that, then we ain't missing them. But back to this thing, the master must give up his slave, and the slave must give up his master. or any black man in power in the 70s. When the world went off to gold and silver standard. Why didn't they put him in power in the 80s when Jesse was running, even though Jesse was wrong? And why did they put Obama in power when he is not a direct descendant of the slave here in America? Why did they put old Jesse up in it? If there's no racism, why? Because they chose a person that has no or little connection to the problems that plague black America. And so he can distance himself, and they can train him up in a way that would be sufficient for them to do what they are planning to do. It's no accident that they brought this man here in the last days in the fall of the American Empire to help enslave you more, to implement more draconian laws against black America, to cut off more aid to black America, and smile all while he's doing, shoot a basketball all while he's doing it. This is not ironic. This is a plan, a plot to try to take you to hell with them. Oh, black man and black woman. See, that's why I was scared when we were going to go off the subject of the matter. But let me play something for you. For those of you who are saying, well, if we buy this land over here, then we can do X, Y, and Z. And what I'm trying to get you all to understand is that the messenger said that the land would be given to you. If you don't understand the word given, that means conveyed. Conveyed. Some of us, we're impatient when we say, well, Master Farah, Muhammad ain't going to do this, and Master Farah, we got to do such. You're not understanding prophecy, and you don't understand scripture, you don't understand time, and yet you have to hear so many people, and you will be charged for misrepresenting and misleading these people. But let me talk to you for a minute. The reason that God has to give us the land is because this land has to be completely independent and free of all of the rules of America. If you get it in America, you don't want freedom indeed. I'm talking about, you go and buy it yourself. Remember, the Muslim program is what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. And remember, now say we have arrived and message to the black man and for all of America. The messenger said we want nothing short of a home on this earth that we can call our own. And message to the black man, he makes it very clear. He says, any other solution other than this will only cause more confusion and problems between black and white. And he stopped this madness when he said that we don't want temporary solutions. And what you're looking at is a temporary solution. Now, the reason I'm saying this to you is because some of us, we don't understand this. And we take the separation as a slogan, and we don't realize that the separation is already underway. Because we don't understand scripture, we don't understand theology, and we don't understand time. Now, this white man, remember Black Wall Street? That black city was the second richest city in America. A separate city. What happened to it? They bombed it, didn't it? What about that other black city? They bombed it, didn't it? What about Rosewood in Florida? They destroyed it, didn't it? Black cities. Right? But it was still under American rule. Do you understand? And the reason I'm telling you this is because let us point to the Native Americans for a minute, the Indians. You see them on reservations, and you say, well, they're independent. No, they're not. They're autonomous, but they're not independent. And autonomous and independent are two different things, because they have the right to make certain laws that don't conflict with the national law. And whensoever the government chooses to, he can roll back the autonomous laws in the indigenous way in that territory, and he can put federal law to reign supreme over that. But the Indians have their own land, but they're still under federal rule, even though they have their own seat at the UN. That, brothers and sisters, listen to this closely, because this goes to the heart of trying to raise you into the proper thought of things. This is why it is so prudent that you listen to this show. It is so prudent
construction of the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline remains under a temporary halt following a request by the federal government. Meanwhile, one Native American leader for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe of North Dakota is pleading to the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva, Switzerland, for an international intervention against the construction of the pipeline. In Washington, the Obama administration has been quiet about their plans for an environmental review to determine the future of this project. RT correspondent Manuel Rapolo is outside the White House with the details.
Since the U.S. federal government requested a temporary halt in construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline, the White House has not mentioned any specifics about the legal review process supposedly underway. At an unprecedented visit to Geneva, Switzerland, the leader of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe of North Dakota spoke before the United Nations Human Rights Council, calling on the international body to intervene in a way the U.S. justice system has not.
Well, we have gone to the court in the United States. Our courts have failed to protect our sovereign rights, our sacred places, and our water. We call upon the Human Rights Council and all member states to condemn the destruction of our sacred places and to support our nation's efforts to ensure that our sovereign rights are respected. We ask that you call upon all parties to stop the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline and to protect the environment, our nation's future, our culture, and our way of life.
There's been little discussion among political leaders here in Washington over what happens next, but a federal appeals court this week officially expanded that halt in construction. The ruling is aimed at giving members of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe more time in their request of an emergency injunction against the project itself. The question we're asking is what happens in the meantime. One of the most controversial aspects about this pipeline is that it's supposed to go underneath the Missouri River, and an environmental assessment by the U.S. government could still grant permission to the company to move forward with this project. In the event that the Dakota Access Pipeline is scrapped, similar to what happened with the Keystone XL pipeline, the government has already hinted that the implications could be far-reaching. The U.S. Department of Justice said in one statement that, quote, "This case has highlighted the need for a serious discussion on whether there should be nationwide reform with respect to considering tribes' views on these types of infrastructure projects." In a letter sent this week to President Obama, 18 Democrats from the House of Representatives have expressed a willingness to work with the administration on new legislation that could set precedents on the relationship that exists between tribal nations and the federal government. In Washington, Manuel Rapolo, RT.
Treaties that were signed to all of these nations, the federal government has yet to honor any of these treaties. And now that corporations are coming in and telling the government we need this pipeline to go through here, regardless of the environmental damage, we don't care if it's a sovereign, so-called sovereign nation of the Indians. We want it to run right through here because it's the shortest and it's the shortest distance and it's the cheapest thing that we can do, and we're going to lobby and pay you to make the laws to contradict the treaty that you signed with them so that we can get this thing moving. To hell with their freedom and independence. That's what they're saying. Is that right? So the Indians go to the UN to appeal. But at the same time, the UN is under American domination. So, do you see? They have their own territory. But their territory is still under American rule. They're autonomous, semi-autonomous, but yet they're still under the laws of the federal government of America. Muhammad says we don't want anything temporary. What we want is something that is permanent and everlasting. I've been slammed. I have not even sent out paperwork to this one brother that has requested it for me, and I really apologize. I have really been slammed lately, but I have not forgotten you, brother who's listening. And I'm going to look for that for you. If I cannot find it, I'm going to refer you to Brother Rashid, because I know if I don't have it, Brother Rashid or Brother Gerald has and stuff. All right? But as I said to you, this thing is so dire that you have got to have the proper understanding. Okay? As I was saying to one brother, and as I was saying to you all on the last live show that we did, I recall always talking to Brother Saladin, and he would always drop tidbits of information, and he would tell me stuff that I had not read before, or he would tell me stuff that I had not heard before, and I just didn't accept this stuff. I would take Saladin to task on everything that he'll tell me. I said, "Brother, the messenger said that." He said, "Yes, sir, brother." And then I would take. We would go all night long, sometimes days and weeks at a time over one day. And then the brother, after a while, the brother see that I'm taking him to task. The brother will give me these things, brother. I give you room so that you can have time to digest this stuff. He said, because everybody, if you come at them hard, they don't have the patience or the fortitude to withstand it, and sometimes they can't digest it, so you got to feed them a little bit at a time, and you got to have them get space to digest it. And this is what I try to do with the people who are listening. All that I'm saying to you, I can prove it every day. Every day. But the thing is, why would you not listen to a show that everything that we have said has come to be when nobody else has said these things? Huh? This is common sense. Let us reason together. On this show, we talked about all of the situations with the money markets before they took place. And we told you what to expect. We called the events in the Middle East last year and the beginning of this year and the year before that. We told you what to expect in North Africa and the Middle East. We told you what to expect in Asia. We told you what to expect in Europe. Right? Brother Saladin told me, he said, "Brother, this came directly from the messenger." The messenger taught these things. You had never heard anybody talk on Libya. You never heard anybody talk on Yemen. Now look at the main nations over there that are under bombardment are those nations. But Saladin had told me to expect that. And you see all of the confusion and the division in America between the black nation and all the people screaming, "Unity! We need unity!" Saladin had told me that too. He said, "Brother, they're going to scream for unity." But it's not going to happen at that time, because this is not the time for it. He said, "They must be punished." He said, "The messenger said that God has to punish them." And then he said, "It's going to look so bad." Then out of the blue, God going to swoop in, and things are going to change. And then that's when the unity occurs. But it has to go through this process of the purification of the cross. The brother told me all this stuff. And so I share this stuff with you because he freely shared it with me. And I researched it, and I did everything that I could. Now, to be honest with you, when I was younger, I was trying to disprove him. But wind up confirming it in research. And one day I had to tell the brother, you remember I used to always take you to task on everything. He said, "Yeah, brother, you were a hothead, brother." I tell you can tell me anything without me. "Brother, what you mean by that?" And this is the way I want you to do. The reason I'm sharing this with you, brothers and sisters, is because this is what I want. Stop taking this stuff that they provide to you, hook, line, and sinker. Use these faculties that God gave you to try to discern what is right and what's wrong. To try to go into the depths of this stuff. And stop just being surface dwellers, scratching on the skin when your ailment lies so much deeper and needs so much more attention and analysis to get to the very root cause of all the illnesses and sickness that's in the black man's mind and heart that has been put there by the era of Yaqub. This is the time. This is a great time. Many won't make it. As again, I go back to Brother Saladin. I know some of you say, "I feel like I know Brother Saladin," but you do. Because the wisdom that reflected, the wisdom that the messenger taught him, and the brother held firm to it and gave it to me, and I'm giving it to you. So when you hear me, you hear the pioneers who stayed with the Because everybody who claims to be, they don't see. They don't hear. And you'll hear better than say that. Well, I can't understand. Well, I can't see. Well, of course you can't. Because you hadn't digested what you had already received. So you fool, you're sick. You're trying to eat more. You're like a baby who's been fed. But the baby continues to cry and want more, but won't let the person burp them or won't let the food digest in the stomach. And they become overfull and start throwing up the stuff that they had just put down. Right? That's you, black man and black woman. That's us. We don't want to accept wisdom coming from each other. And we often and always, mostly always, take the words of people whose words they never come to. Never come. We have a track record here. Go and listen to the shows in the past. Go listen. And matter of fact, I was on Facebook day before yesterday, and I saw a minister on there talk about Duterte, the Filipino president. And he put a video up there of Duterte. And he says, see, Allah's opening the eyes of these leaders against America. I've been talking about that forever. And these same people were condemning me for telling you this. Or he ain't teaching the message to teach. Now they saying it. And they're using scripture. You see, this is, but the people have to go through this. They don't understand. And the main thing about it is, no matter how much they claim to follow the message, they know that they heard it from here first. But they too arrogant, too hard-hearted to say, you know what? That brother Rashid said it on the show. He was talking about Duterte. He was talking about how Allah is exposing the world, leaving America to the world. He was talking. They too arrogant for that. And they want the people in their little flocks and their little people to continue to be their flock, and not really the messenger's flock. Because if you are over the herd, you want to feed your sheep, your flock, the best, so that they can be healthy, right? So did you give them the right wisdom, the right way? And this is what we're trying to do with you all. But some of you want to argue down. But if you want to argue, 347-989-0855, see how far your argument goes. 347-989-0855. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, not out of arrogance, but out of humility. I love my people more than life. I don't love you to death. I love you to life. And I was taught by people who love their people and who love the messenger and who love God and who respected God's truth and was prepared to die for it. And that's the school of thought that I come out of. So I love my people. And I'm prepared to defend this truth and to give my people the right sustenance that is in these crucial times, regardless of whom or what. I don't need your friendship if your friendship means compromising on God's truth or trying to be in the midst of all these people and all of these so-called unity rallies and memes. I don't need your friendship if it means compromising on God's truth and also compromising on the messenger of God. That's not in my vocabulary. That's not in my life. I'm going to give it to you raw, but naked, as the messenger says, the plain truth. Whether you like it or whether you don't. And if you feel like your wisdom supersedes it, I mean, like I say on the streets, ain't nothing to it but to do it. 347-989-0855, and we can do it all day, every day. You understand? But you got a brother standing before you who is telling you this truth, who is a follower of the message. I love this stuff myself.
information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day. That I like the moon I made.